She used to call me her old goat. I would have named it Old Goats Transport. At one point, I saw somebody else, and he had Old Goats Transport on the side of his truck. So I just called it Goat Transport to not be coming from him or it not look like I was. People have asked if I used to haul goats, and no, I didn't.
Top therapy willing to bet you get a little bit of a sense for the understated, homespun sense of humor of one owner-operator, Doug Viel, today hauling his goats to transport, as he noted. No old goats here. Doug Viel's been in business for himself as an owner-operator for most of his 30-plus years in trucking thus far, and gets the nod in Overdrive's Trucker of the Year program as February's Trucker of the Month. Nominated by a fellow owner who calls him Mr. Overdrive, in fact, after we called on VL's experience in years past and a couple of different features, owner-operator VL seen success, particularly these last years, leased to Oakley Trucking. That'd be the Bruce Oakley bulk hauler based in Arkansas, where he pulls a company hopper on a back-and-forth dedicated run loaded with industrial product. He's banked plenty in the way of wisdom, too, enough to recognize his own shortcomings and lean into the areas where he's top-notch, as I illustrated to some extent the feature about him published last week at OverdriveOnline.com. Look for a link to that in the show notes for this edition of Overdrive Radio for Friday, March 8, 2024, wherever you're listening. I'm Todd Dills, your host as usual, and we'll hear much more about owner-operator VL's wisdom as we go along. Plenty of that sense of humor, too.
It's kind of expensive wisdom, but yeah.
It's a hallmark of the best among owner-operators. Learning plenty from those expensive mistakes, as it were. Doug's bounced back from more than a few, yet always with that dry sense of humor at the ready. His CB handle? Well.
The last CB handle I used was Pirate, but I hadn't even used a handle in so long. I think if I pick another handle, it'll be Class Clown.
Why so?
I guess because I'm always clowning around.
No fooling, though. As for his best piece of advice for new owners, he harked back to a time prior to buying his first truck in the late 1980s and an early lease purchase. Educational, it was, the hard way.
I learned that you don't want to lease a truck from the same people you're leasing the same truck back to, which is what a lease purchase is. It simply gives them too much power over you. You know, you're not a true owner-operator in a sense of if things are not working out at that company, you can't just take your truck and go lease it on to somebody else. So if you have any equity, if you put any money in on the truck or whatever, why, you know, you lose all that and you start over again at square one.
And there's more where that came from, as well as plenty of VL's history, going back to his pre-CDL commercial license test in the late 1970s, early 1980s, behind the wheel of a one-ton Chevrolet. And before we hit the break, here's a welcome to a new sponsor for our Trucker of the Year Award for 2024. It's Commercial Vehicle Group, well known amongst the owners for the Bostrom Seating brand, among many others. Contenders this year in the running for a variety of prizes, including one of those seats to go to the winner. Put your own owner-operator business in the running at overdriveonline.com/toptrucker. Now, word from Overdrive Radio sponsor, fine folks from House Products.
Winter weather predictions can be unreliable. Be prepared for whatever's in store this year with Howe's Diesel Treat and Howe's Diesel Lifeline. The nation's number one anti-gel, Diesel Treat is the only guaranteed anti-gel on the market. And Diesel Lifeline has absolutely no harmful alcohol and requires no mixing or fuel filter replacements. Available nationwide, Howe's products are designed to keep you rolling through the toughest conditions. Howe's, tested, trusted, guaranteed. Visit HowesProducts.com.
That's H-O-W-E-S, HowesProducts.com. Now, introducing our February Trucker of the Month, Class Clown, Bulk Hauler, Pass Dry, Reefer, Flatbed, Container Puller, much else besides. Here we go.
My name is Doug Viel. I'm an owner-operator. I've got a 2014 Freightliner Cascadia. Got it leased on with Bruce Oakley. And I run a dedicated route running from back and forth between Irving, Texas and Glenwood, Arkansas. I run empty up to Arkansas, and then coming back this way, I haul, they call it head lap granules.
And that's like every day, just same clockwork, 5 days a week kind of thing, or what?
Sometimes 6 days a week, or usually 6 days a week are available. I usually just run five. I generally run Tuesday through Saturday for the simple reason that so many places are closed on the weekends. Monday is about the only day to get work done on the truck or some of the stuff, personal stuff I need to take care of.
You're running a, kind of a hopper trailer, right?
I've been doing this ever since I started with Oakley. And okay. I started March 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. Next month will be 2 years. And, you know, it's been working out real well for me. Some of the guys that are on that dedicated route go home every day. As for myself, I think it's, to me, living in town, it's just too much of a hassle to park the truck and get all my stuff in the pickup and go home and all that and back to work the next day. It takes too much time for me, so I prefer just sleep in the truck and come home on weekends.
Yeah, I mean, how far away is it where you are when you come back into the Texas area? I know you live in Garland, I believe, right?
Yes, I live in Garland, which is right on the route.
Okay.
But, you know, parking the truck is what the issue is. You know, sure. If I had a place out in the country where I could park the truck on my own land, well, you know, it'd be different.
What's life like for you there?
So we live in it's a Fox and Jacobs house, and it was built in like the early 70s, I believe. We've lived here since 93. In a subdivision here in Garland. We've been here long enough. If we were to ever decide to move, it'd be a major deal.
30-some years of history tied up in the house in Garland include three now-grown children between Doug and his wife and business partner, Mary, who's long been an assist with the back-office books there and spent time on the road driving team with Doug in his early years as an owner. Seven grandchildren are part of the extended family now, too. When I met owner-operator Viel originally in 2017, he was running under his own authority and had been for quite some time pulling a dry van. This was noted in my story about him. He then made what would turn out to be a prescient decision in 2019 as rates began to fall off 2018 peaks and COVID was right around the corner.
When the rates got so bad, so I leased on with Scott for a few months.
That small fleet owner, Scott Jordan, then operating what was known as Powerhouse Transportation. Jordan and his then independent carrier group had also been a dispatch services provider to VL for some of his time with authority. Leasing to the small fleet didn't last long, though. A mere matter of months, as VL noted.
After that, I leased on with Roadrunner. Kept my trailer and leased on with Roadrunner hauling LTL freight for them.
Okay.
For the most part, it was pretty good. You know, I enjoyed the way we ran, you know, the LTL stuff, just running terminal to terminal. Mm-hmm. They weren't as careful with my trailer as I wish they had have been.
Okay.
So, they damaged it a little bit from time to time. Yeah, I really kind of enjoyed that. And I went to, as often as I could, I went to Mira Loma, to our terminal out there.
In Southern California, that is.
I'm one of the ones that likes running out across the desert. No, but they've got terminals all over the place. Got one in Dallas and one in Houston. Two out there in the L.A. area. One up San Leandro, I believe is where it is. It's in the Bay Area. Chicago, Detroit. I think they got three in Ohio. Cincinnati. At least two. I know Cincinnati and Columbus, I know. Mm-hmm. Charlotte, Carolina. Got one on Long Island, but I never went there.
But you were pulling your own trailer still, though, eh?
Yes.
You'd have to spend some time waiting on that every time you go there. But
once you learned where all the terminals that you went to were, why, you know, it was easy. And
yeah.
You'd learn the neighborhoods. You'd learn where you like to go eat while you were waiting on them to unload your trailer and load something else on it and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I enjoyed the work. They were paying it. I mean, it was a mileage rate, and it varied depending on where you were running at. Like Dallas to California, it was actually kind of cheap. Dallas to Chicago paid quite a bit more. They had a chart showing every different run and how much a mile they paid on every one of them.
What spurred the move to Oakley then?
Better pay. Make a little more at Oakley. And I'm home a little more. So I can depend on being home every weekend here. Those of us that are on dedicated routes, we get a percentage. The ones that are just running over the road, they get a mileage pay. The people pulling hoppers, it varies whether you're pulling a hopper or a end dump or a pneumatic tank. The pneumatic tanks, of course, are the ones that get paid the most per mile. But they have to stay out longer. They have to go to Canada.
There are dedicated opportunities pulling Oakley pneumatics too. Shorter runs like what Yale's doing now and paid on a percentage basis. Regular Overdrive Radio listeners will recall my run in North Central Kentucky with Oakley leased John McCormick in late 2022. His Bandit 2021 Kenworth W900L between facilities in that region.
Well, then next to that, there's your end dumps. I considered that, but in the end, I decided you work a whole lot more for just a little bit more money to pull end dump. So I decided on hoppers, and they had an opening in their dedicated when I hired on, so that's what I took.
Good timing to ink such a steady run. March 2022. Fuel prices on the march to uncharted territory after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, inflation running rampant all throughout the economy and the trucking business through the rest of the year, and freight rates again were starting a long march down from COVID highs. For Doug Biel, it's been pretty steady Eddie since, he noted. Those recent history moves build on long experience that stretches back for him now more than four decades.
I want to say 1980. I was working for the phone company, and I was working on a crew that pulled underground lines in, underground telephone cables. So we used trucks, of course, in our work, and that was back before they came up with the CDL. Every different state set the requirements, and I actually took my driving test in a one-ton Chevrolet.
That in Texas?
That was in Texas. I took a girlfriend once that was going to be my co-driver up to get her driving test in Missouri. And she took the test in a car. Different states just had different requirements. So I got my CDL and or got my commercial. I think they called it a commercial license. I don't. Some states called it a commercial license and some called it a chauffeur.
Chauffeur, yeah.
We did have a tractor trailer on the crew, and so I learned how to drive that, and I drove the tractor trailer on the crew that hauled the cables out to the job site and suspended them over the manholes while we were pulling them in. Well, after I did that for a while, I got silly, I guess, and decided I wanted to drive over the road. And I went to Missouri, and I went to work for a company there in Missouri, Prime Incorporated. Springfield, Missouri. You know, with a hiatus here and there, I've been mostly driving ever since. Became an owner operator initially, I want to say it was in about 88 or 9, something like that. I mean, I did have a lease purchase deal at some time back in 86, but I don't really count that as being a real owner operator. First truck I got was a cab over Peterbilt. I want to say a 1981 year model with a 300 Cummins mechanical engine. It was slow, but it was steady. So I drove it all over the country, traded it in for a International with a 444 Cummins. And at that time, that was a fairly big motor. Somewhere in the early early 90s, I want to say. It was a couple of years or so after I got the Peterbilt. I just got so fed up with being an owner operator, I finally wound up turning loose of that. And I drove as a company driver for several years. Finally, in the early 2000s, I decided again that I wanted to be an owner operator. And so against my wife's wishes, I took about half of the money we'd saved up and put it down on a Kenworth T600. That was a darn good truck. Problem I made with it is I kept it about 2 years too long, and the maintenance ate up everything I had earned or everything I had saved with it up to that point. So I traded in on a 2011 Freightliner Cascadia, ran it for several hundred thousand miles, and eventually traded it in on the truck I have now.
Was it used at the time?
It was used at the time. It had just barely over 300,000 miles on it when I got it. It had been a Stevens truck. It must have been 2016, I want to say. Yeah, probably about 2016.
Standard fleet truck. Have you done anything major to it since then, other than just maintaining?
Mostly just maintain it. Yeah, it's pretty much a fleet truck. I mean, I did have the, it no longer runs 70 miles an hour. I mean, it no longer only runs 70 miles an hour. It'll do the speed. You know, I do that. I have them all turned up when I buy them. I think it was 455 horsepower when I bought it. I had them turn it up to 505, which was the most that the Freightliner would do it.
Right.
And had the speed turned up. So
what have you been able to do in terms of fuel mileage on it?
I usually get just barely over 6.
Okay.
So I've come to, I mean, that's kind of about what I've come to believe you can expect nowadays. Is I know a lot of people claim to do 7, and I've heard some claim to do 8, but about 6.25, maybe 6.5 is about the most I've ever gotten. And of course, with what I'm hauling now, 50% of my miles are empty. So that's really light. But then the other 50% of the loads are, you know, maximum gross weight.
Day to day, VLX spends energy managing another key element of an owner operator's trucking business, time efficiency. On a one-way 280-mile run that, on the Arkansas portion in particular, is a large amount of two-lane road and speed limited at 55 miles per hour.
You can make the turn and have generally about maybe 2 hours to play with. And what I usually use that 2 hours for is try to work my way closer to the shipper, so that by Saturday I only have a short ways to go before I load.
Like clockwork, VL's weekly settlements come in between $3,000 and $3,400, and that's net fuel and insurance and other deductions. The truck's long since paid off, though, getting up in age and miles to the point that he's eyeing the distinct likelihood of not making the same mistake he made with his T600.
You know, repairs some of the time hit me pretty hard, but...
How many miles are on that truck now?
Just shy of 930,000.
No major overhaul or anything yet?
Not yet, no. According to Detroit, the design life before overhaul is 1.2 million. I'm not sure whether I'll try to push it out that far or whether I'll try to trade it in before then.
Owner-operator BL's spoken to dealers about possible new purchases, but expects he'll take the same approach he's taken throughout his career, buying used from a trusted dealer.
If you buy a used truck from a dealer and they go over it thoroughly and it's low mileage, you know, you should get several hundred thousand miles out of it before the maintenance really shoots skyrockets.
If, that is, emissions issues don't rear their ugly heads, as they did in the case of his 2014 Cascadia early on in his ownership.
It came with there was a very nerve-wracking experience. The DEF was problematic, and we actually spent a long time in the shop with them arguing with Freightliner and arguing with Detroit and, you know, trying to get the problem fixed, because I hadn't made first trip out, it broke down. It actually broke down, and I spent Thanksgiving weekend at on the state line between Tennessee and Virginia. And so getting repaired there just a few days after I got it back out of the shop there, the same thing, check engine light came on again. Finally wound up putting a whole new one box on it. That didn't fix it. And so then they replaced the wiring harness to it. And then after that, I didn't have any more problems until after 700,000 miles. So I got over 400,000 miles out of it without any trouble after they put the brand new one box and wiring harness on it.
His trusted dealer rep on that sale is now solely a new truck salesman, Veal said. Though he might be expected to make an exception in Veal's next purchase, the Class Clown also wrote.
He said, I don't think I'll sell any more used trucks. I can certainly understand why, because it was a nerve-wracking experience for all of us, for all concerned.
That brought up what might be his central piece of advice for new and or aspiring owners, outside of the warning about lease purchase deals noted up at the top of the podcast.
When your repair bills start going up toward the end of a truck's lifespan, you need to look real closely at that, because there's a pitfall there that it winds up a little bit at a time spending all the money that you've saved up that you should be making a down payment on your next truck with. Right. So you don't want to fall into that pitfall either. I'm getting right up to the point where I'm going to have to make a decision concerning that here in the very near future.
Wisdom, again, born of experience, hard won, as it were.
It's kind of expensive wisdom, but yeah.
Here's big thanks to February Trucker of the Month, Doug Viel, for his time, for certain. Viel is in the running for Overdrive's 2024 Trucker of the Year Award, along with independent Leslie Bitterman, Trucker of the Month for January. The program has been sponsored this year by Commercial Vehicle Group, well known among owner-operators for its Bostrom seating brand. As I noted up top, the winner this year, we're happy to report, will receive a prize pack from the sponsor that will include a variety of prizes, enough for a new seat among them. So get on over to overdriveonline.com/topchucker and get your nomination in today. Nominate your own business, up to 3 trucks there, or put forward a different exemplary owner you admire. That's exactly how owner-operator VL got into consideration, nominated by good friend and fellow owner Sean Mitchell. Hope to see your name in the running. That's overdriveonline.com/topchucker. I'll post a link to that in the show notes for the podcast, and you can find that wherever you're listening. Overdrive Radio is on all the big podcasting platforms, from Apple and Google to Spotify, SoundCloud, and so many others. Big thanks for listening. Overdrive Radio is a production of Overdrive, the voice of the American trucker. It's edited and produced by me, Todd Dills, with the acoustic guitar and other support of trucker-songwriter Long Haul Paul Marhoefer. The theme is Legend of the Snake Man by Marhoefer, featuring the guitar work of Travis, the Snake Man himself, Wamick, Terry Two-Socks Richardson on bass, keys by Tishomingo Jim Whitehead, and drums, Andrew Marshall. The podcast is backed up further by Overdrive's own news editor, Matt Cole, executive editor, Alex Lockie, and video editors, Lawson Rudisil and Andrew Gwynn. We'll see you next time.